Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake. I spent a few moments this week watching a couple of video clips of an American television evangelist, preacher. He was talking about a vision that he had received from God. I won't go into all the details, but no surprise that in the vision, Donald Trump was God's chosen one, and ranged against him were all these powers. All of whom, as it happened, demonic powers, bore a very close resemblance to the various folk Donald Trump has criticised via Twitter recently. Quite laughable in its way, and had very little to do with the ways of God as we usually think of them. But part of why so many are taken in by that kind of thing, and millions of people are taken in by it, and also what lies behind umpteen different conspiracy theories, as well as lots of political shenanigans in our time, is power. The idea, really, that there are powers, unseen forces, behind the scenes, working against good, ordinary people to cause mayhem or to undermine our best. It's an ancient idea. As we shall see, it finds its way into the story of Jesus, but you don't have to look very far in our world to see the idea at work. Often, powers are invoked to explain what is happening in politics, the media, the weather, whatever. You know? Usually, the forces for good are in some personality, a Donald Trump or a Boris Johnson or somebody. And ranged against them are all these powers. The deep state, the civil service, a shadowy cabal that's really running things behind the scenes. Or else the good guys are us, under attack by the elite or some such. 9/11 conspiracy theories, moon landing conspiracy theories, UFO conspiracy theories. They don't really want us to know what's going on. Remainers scrabbling to stop Brexit while good guy Brexiteers just want to carry out the will of the people. Foreign hackers interfering with everything from elections to bank accounts. Hurricanes sent by God to punish Puerto Rico for being poor, perhaps, or Florida for being soft on gays and others. Fake news. Mainstream journalists all conspiring to use their powers to prevent the truth being told. Well, while what's really true can be found online. It wasn't so many years ago people talked in similar terms of the trade unions working to undermine the best efforts of entrepreneurs everywhere. There's no end to this kind of stuff once you start. Powers ranged against the good have been looked for, warned about, invoked for outrage or to promote repression for centuries. In the early 20th century, there was a hoax, entirely false document making its way around called the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. It purported to be the minutes of a meeting of very powerful Jewish figures bent on world domination. It was widely read throughout the United States and in Europe. And after the Nazis came to power, it was required reading in every German school. It is still available and can be downloaded on the internet. It It's widespread and well established, this idea of powers. And it is often so dangerous that it is tempting to dismiss the idea altogether. But as you know, most lies contain some kernel of truth. And the truth is, in a world in which ordinary human beings often feel themselves to be at the forces of beyond their control, there are powers, be they political, financial, military, technological, natural, that bear down on our world, on our lives. As I say, the idea finds its way into the story of Jesus. It is part of how different Christian groups have tried to live by faith in God and find the place of the church in the world for centuries. So what does our faith have to say about? And what should we who live by faith do about? Powers. We're calling this series Engaging with the Powers. Taking as our starting point some of the incidents in Luke's telling of the story of Jesus. We begin at the beginning, as Tina read for us a few moments ago. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled amongst us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. See, what we need is somewhere solid on which to stand. In an age of claim and counterclaim, false truth and true truth, and fake news and real news, and so on, we need somewhere to stand if we are going to engage with the powers. It's a great theme running through church history. Where does authority really lie, and who wields authority? Once it was fairly undisputed, well, all authority lay with the Pope, Christ's vicar on earth. Then, as his power began to appear more and more compromised, as the whole edifice began to look a bit dodgy, the Bible came center stage. Translated into the hands of every ploughboy, William Tyndale. But the complexities in interpretation, the various ways in which the Bible lays out its truth, fact, poetry, story, so on and so forth, and the sometimes grotesque ways in which it has been misused to justify everything from slavery to apartheid to homophobia, means that it is not quite as simple as that. Still, to start, on what solid ground can we stand? Luke, since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, I too decided to write an orderly account. An orderly account. Luke, the doctor, bringing all his intellect and training to bear on writing down an orderly account of the things that had happened in the life of Jesus. It's a good place to start. An orderly account. Part of the long tradition that goes right back into the times of the Old Testament. We heard just a little bit from Chronicles, the stories of King David, written down by different people into an account. It's the ways in which human beings have long sought to define and organize and reflect on the truth. The ancient storytellers did it. The world is littered with great libraries as folk everywhere have constructed lots of orderly accounts of the things that they have researched and discovered and come to understand. Today's scientists do it as they write down the results of their research and peer review each other's work. The world is filled with lawyers who write laws and discuss them and reflect on what they mean and what's right and what isn't right about them and so on. Yes, of course, all this depends on there being paper and pen and ink. And yes, it depends, of course, on folk, or at least some folk, being able to read. But it is a time-honored way for what is true to be recalled and recounted and reflected upon. It's not dependent upon the emotions of the moment or the manipulation of somebody over a crowd. And if it is still open to misinterpretation, then at least it can be checked against what has been written down. An orderly account. Luke gives us an orderly account of the story of Jesus. His teachings, encounters, healings, doings, life, death, rising again, and so on. It's not everything. We've got Matthew and Mark and John as well. We've got the letters in the New Testament, the whole of the Old Testament. But you might say, as of first importance, an orderly account. Solid ground on which to stand as we engage with the powers of the world. And early on in the orderly account that Luke writes, there's what you might call a guiding principle of how that account is going to be told, what its priorities and its themes are going to be. How this Jesus engages with the powers around him that are ranged often against he who is good and who offers a vision of goodness and love for us all. The guiding principle, Mary's song. My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, sent the rich away empty. From the lips of a young girl, the ancient hopes of her people, for the low to be raised up and the mighty to be brought low. It's a guiding principle for the account of the story of Jesus and for the ways in which we are to engage with the powers today. Because we live in a world where still the mighty lord it over the lowly, and where still the powers of money and greed and oppression and addiction and illness and disease stalk the earth. An orderly account of all that happened and a guiding principle as to how it happened and why it happened and how we are to live. So that we may know the truth. So that the truth might be told. And so that we might live by the truth of Jesus, who shows us how to live without fear and how to live by faith, believing that the powers have been overcome by the power of love. It's the only truth that really matters in this uncertain world. The truth of the loving, dying, rising, returning Lord Jesus.